If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, the world's top-ranked fitness, health, and entertainment podcast.
Look it up.
We answer fitness and health questions that are asked by listeners and viewers just like you, but we also have a lot of fun. All of our episodes are filled with information and fun time.
Lots of fun.
So what we do is we open up this podcast with an introductory portion. We cover some current events. That was about 36 minutes long. After that, we answered the fitness questions. By the way, if you want to follow along and click on the timestamped part of the episode that you want to listen
like that
to,
bouncy ball,
go to mindpumppodcast.com. Okay, so here's the breakdown. We open up by talking about Gymshark. Yeah, there was some problems with them online, and we're having some fun. And that reminded us of another clothing company that's way better.
Yeah.
Vuori. Vuori is actually one of the top fastest growing online athleisure wear companies in the world. Now, we chose to work with them because they're all about value, quality, and they have a lifetime refund guarantee. If you don't like the products at any time, you can return them. They also look really good. They really upped my style game, right, Adam?
Oh, they certainly did.
Absolutely. Anyway, because you listen to Mind Pump, you get the biggest discount available anywhere for Vuori, 25% off. Here's what you do. Go to vuoriclothing.com. That's vuoriclothing.com/mindpump. Then we talk about one of the greatest rock bands of all time, Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good time.
Pour some sugar on me, Sal.
Then we talked about my grandfather's legacy. I got to spend some great time with him over the weekend and got to hear the story of how he came to this country and built his legacy. Made me feel like a big wimp.
Yeah.
Because he did a lot of tough stuff. And then Justin talked about his new look that's getting him some action at home.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing the Speedos.
I might have to repeat it.
Then we talked about football coming back. We talked about the fight, the UFC fight over the weekend. Colby versus Tyrone. This was MAGA versus BLM. At least that's the way they hyped it.
That's what it looked like.
Really crazy. Apparently it was a good fight. Then we talked about the new product from Ned. Ned is full spectrum hemp oil, and they have a sleep product that's high in CBD and in CBN. So this is a sedative. You take this at night, relaxes you, puts you to sleep. We've been trying it out and getting the best sleep ever.
Incredibly effective.
This stuff is legit. Look it up. CBN with CBD. Their product, it's a sleep product. And because you listen to Mind Pump, you get 15% off your purchase. Here's what you do. Go to helloned.com. That's helloned.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get 15% off. Then I talked about one of my favorite arm supersets using a suspension trainer. I mentioned it before. I'm still doing it. My guns look amazing. At least that's what Justin told me.
Yeah, I love
those of you guys at YouTube, you can see what's going on.
They're glorious.
He said buns.
It's pretty. Oh, he said buns? Well, my guns look good too. Then we got into the fitness questions. Here's the first one. This person wants to know, what's the difference between strength training and hypertrophy training? In other words, what's the difference between building strength and building muscle size? The next question, this person just got put on Xanax, wants to know what natural alternatives there are to Xanax. And that part of the episode, we did talk about Ned again because it does have some good relaxing properties. But we also talked about lifestyle changes that can improve anxiety. The next question, this person wants to know, how do they know if they need to change their foot position for a squat? Is it a mobility issue or am I just born this way? And the final question,
this
person wants to know if we have any tips on how to balance out hormones in women who are training at very, very high levels like athletes. By the way, Mind Pump produces some of the most popular online workout programs you'll find anywhere. They're called MAPS. We have MAPS fitness products for almost everyone. We have them for total beginners. We have products and programs for people who want to boost their metabolism, build some muscle.
They take you where you need to go.
People who like to train and look like bodybuilders or bikini competitors. People who want to train to have functional mobility. People who like to do unconventional strongman type workouts. To date, we've got hundreds of thousands of people who followed the programs, given them 5 stars, gotten phenomenal results. Find out the difference. Find out why programs designed by real personal trainers, not celebrity pretend personal trainers.
Yeah, not fitness actors.
Why they're so effective. We don't just put together exercises because they look cool, they look fun. We actually program the workouts to be truly effective. If you want to find the MAPS program that works best for you, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com. Look up the one that is geared for you. Enroll. Try it out for 30 days. By the way, risk-free. You can return any of them for a full refund. But we know if you try it and follow it for 30 days, it'll blow your mind. Again, it's at mapsfitnessproducts.com.
T-shirt time! And it's T-shirt time.
Oh, shit, Doug. You know it's my favorite time of the week.
Oh, yes, it is. We have two winners, one for Apple Podcasts, one for Facebook. The Apple Podcast winner is Sitter. And for Facebook, we have Christine L. Roseboom. Both of you are winners. Send the name I just read to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size and your shipping address, and we'll get that shirt right out to
really you. Really easy to win a shirt. Go on Facebook, find the official Mind Pump page, leave a 5-star review, and write something out. We pick the best ones, and then we announce the winners once a week and the first episode of the week. Go do it. The odds are super easy.
And tell your mom.
Dude, Adam.
Mm.
So with all that heat you threw at the Gymshark.
Oh, God.
It was like a frenzy.
I mean, I sprinkled a little bit too.
It was really like, he just put a bunch of chum in the water, you know, and then all of a sudden it became its own thing.
Yeah. They fucking made their own bed. I did a post, shout out to our friend Mike Matthews. I love that. And Sal, I know you do this too. It's like here's an Instagram hack for you, right? So that when you have something super controversial that's going to piss everybody or at least 50% of the people off, instead of making the statement, you do like a question. You know, you pose a question and you do a poll.
Right.
You
want to get a pulse for what people are thinking.
Right. It's a total hack.
It is a hack. Yeah. It's an Instagram hack, I think. I think it's a great way.
You guys just gave that away.
Yeah. So
that's okay.
I like to share. I like to share stuff like that. Right. So I don't know how I came across the post. Something either popped up in my feed or they were on my Explore page and I clicked on it. And I saw their post. And by the way, I don't know much about the company. So that's why I was careful. Like, I'm not one to like not know the whole backstory, not know about the inception of the business and like what their goals are and their mission statement. I don't know any of that stuff. So I'm not going to come out and assume that they're totally virtue signaling. But they did a post.
Yeah. All I know about them is their clothes aren't that good. That's all I've ever heard. I don't know anything else about them.
Well, so I've compared them to the shreds of athleisure wear.
That's classic, by the way. I don't know if anybody knows who that is anymore.
Right.
I know, right?
And it's not a complete. It obviously comes off like a jab,
Joey.
But it's a little bit like what Shreds did that was brilliant. I mean, they made millions and millions of dollars. Is they were first to market. They did a good job of the affiliate marketing with Instagram influencers. You know, they were one of the first supplement companies, if not the first supplement company to.
They figured that part out.
Yeah, they swooped up all these Instagram influencers really early and made deals with them, and they exploded. So Gymshark has a very similar story as far as.
And they did recently value like $1 billion.
Oh, yeah. Which is, by the way, that's the only reason why, too, like I don't mind jabbing like stuff like this. Like I never want to be bullying somebody who is. Smaller than we are, so I feel comfortable when it's $1 billion company. Right?
Yeah,
so
they're massive.
Yeah, I feel comfortable.
They can handle the heat,
right? Throwing a little bit of jazz, right? But anyways, they did this post, and it was like, imagine people being upset that we post about BLM and something about fitness at every size or something like that. I don't remember what it was. I screenshot it and I shared it. So if you don't follow me, it sucks for you. So
get with it.
I did a screenshot of that, and I just did a poll that said virtue signaling or positive message. And like 20% of my followers thought it was a positive message, and the other 80% believed it was virtue signaling. Now, the irony was about 3 hours after that, they pulled it down.
Which is worse.
Way worse. Yeah. And then it's obvious.
If you make a statement that's controversial, unless it's really bad and you really did mess up, like stick to it.
Yeah.
It's not controversial right now it is on social media.
Well,
they were inferring they would never take it down. That would be their stance.
The reason why it was controversial was because underneath it, somebody made a comment like, it was something along the lines of lots of police officers support your brand. Right. You know, this isn't cool or whatever. And they said, we'll survive. Like, in other words, we don't care is kind of how they inferred.
Mm-hmm.
And that started a shitstorm.
Yeah. And they did. And they had some smart alec remarks. Like, people asked, you know, what about the people in blue? And they said, oh, I can't wait for Avatar 2 to come out. So they said some snarky shit response. And so that definitely just added fuel to the fire. And then it just proved my point, which was, you know, in virtue signaling, really what it is, it's just disingenuous. You know, when people say things on Instagram and you don't really mean what you say, it's better off you just don't say it at all.
Yeah.
Like, you're better off not saying it whatsoever. But if you really stand behind something, and that's what I didn't know, right? I don't know if they're all about equality. For all I know, they started their business with that mission in mind, and that they've been working towards that, and they've been doing things. But I didn't think so, and so I posed the question. And then when they pulled it down, to me, it was very, very obvious.
Well, because now what you've done is you took a stand, and so now the people on your side are like, we stand with you. Of course, now there's people on the other side, especially when they made the comments about police officers, like, we'll survive, and then what do you think about Blue Lives Matter? And they said, well, you know, well, we can't wait for Avatar 2.
Yeah.
So they had a little bit of enemies on one side. They had their supporters on the other side. But then they took it down, which means they've alienated everybody.
They've pissed everybody off now.
Yes.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so I'm reading right now, you know, if you look them up and you tap in, like, news or whatever, it's like, what's trending is, like, why is Gymshark canceled? So, like, you know, it kind of caused a bit of a shitstorm. You know, this is the thing about social media, is that if you say something controversial that you mean, the worst thing you could do is take it down after you cause controversy.
Yeah.
Because then you look like you waver, or like it actually reinforces the potential idea that you were virtue signaling. Because if you're not virtue signaling, you would stand by
it's really easy. Don't say shit you don't mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking
simple.
And
be ready to die on that hill. If you want to say it, then you got to be able to be willing to die on that hill.
You want to get your foot in that door and open it up.
The part that, I mean, so I guess, you know, they fall in the top 10, I think, right, for athleisure wear. They're up there with Vuori.
Actually, I just found the chart.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Not even close.
They are financially, right? So what an example, right? So, like, you know, from an outsider looking in, you would, from a dollar perspective, you think it's this great company because it's doing so well. But I'm telling you, they timed the market so well that they swooped up all these influencers really, really early at the right time, and they just crushed.
Well, athleisure wear is
opposite of how Vuori did it.
Athleisure wear is exploding. It's one of the segments of the retail market that is just growing, growing, growing. Other segments are kind of stagnant and not doing so well. Vuori is actually the second fastest growing athleisure brand right now.
Wow.
They've seen
with no Instagram influencers,
no,
by the way.
No.
Yeah.
It's all based off their stuff. Their stuff is legit. It's really good, right? Quarter to quarter growth online, 93%. So they're crushing. Now, Gymshark was number 9. They're already really big, and they've seen some growth as well, but one-third of the rate of
just
a company like Vuori.
Two total different models, right? So Vuori built on a brand of value, right?
And it's about the clothes.
Yeah, quality and value. And that was, and you know, a slower process, right? They've been around longer than Gymshark. Took them longer to get traction and for people to actually try it and wear it and see that it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Then you have another model, which is built off of just marketing. They did a great job marketing. They did an incredible job of timing the Instagram market and getting ahead of all the influencers grabbing their athleisure wear, and they've exploded because of that.
Mm. Yeah, the influencer model is such a quick grab. Like, and you see companies, like, it's really enticing to do that, to just put your product out there really quickly and get immediate exposure and then, you know, get the money as a result of that.
Yeah.
But the quality at the end of the day is what keeps it going.
I just feel like if you build a business off of social media, you have to be very careful because you're kind of signing a deal with the devil. And if you're... Right. If you start a brand and you are like, you try to cater a lot to people, and maybe you're not genuine, you can be canceled just as quickly as you grew.
Yeah.
So you got to be kind of careful. Personally, I would rather, and I do this all the time on my Instagram. I call it thinning the herd. I'll post something that's something that I think that I know some people have a problem and they stop following, but that's okay. I'd rather have a smaller audience that knows really who I am, and I'm honest.
Be authentic about it.
Than a big audience where I'm afraid of taking every little step. I'm walking on eggshells. And if I make the wrong move, and you know, now I'm going to get smashed.
You're always at the whim of the mob.
Absolutely.
I'm just annoyed by the companies that are doing it during this time. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I have nothing against. And that's why somebody was messaging me saying like, oh, I think this is how they believe in Stan. I said, hey, you know what? I don't know. I said, that's why I posed it as a question and I didn't make it as a statement. I said, for all I know, that this is something that they've been working towards for 2 or 3 years. But based off of what I see, you know, in just the last, you know, 3 to 4 months, it doesn't look like that's mm-hmm. what it is. So, yeah. And the thing that you're saying, that's totally different. I mean, you're talking about sharing values, you know, that you've had for a very, very long time that you know may not align with every single person that's following you. And you're not motivated to post about it because there's a certain climate going
Correct.
On right now.
Correct.
It's just that, hey, I'm going to put this out there. It's what I believe and stand by. I know there's going to be a percentage of people that don't agree with me, and it is what it is.
Yeah, you know? Here's a good mm-hmm. example of, you know, when you hear people say virtue, and I know it gets thrown around now, but here's a good example of virtue signaling. The celebrities are excellent at this. They're the best at it. They're good actors anyway. That's why they're celebrities. So they're really good at acting like they care and acting empathetic. But when you really look at how they live, you can see what they really believe in. So like a celebrity like Leonardo DiCaprio, who loves traveling around the world and railing on people about the environment and the climate and how we all need to be more considerate and this and that. But the guy's got yachts, private jets, mansions. I mean, he pollutes just because of the amount of stuff that he owns. And like one private jet flight or one yacht, I mean, they'll produce more carbon than I think the average person could produce in, you know, 50 years or something like that. It's
yeah.
silly.
Yeah, yeah.
So here he is preaching, and you think, oh my God, Leonardo DiCaprio really cares about the climate. Actually, he doesn't. He really cares about what people think about him,
yeah.
but he doesn't really care about the environment. So that's a good example
of much as Nancy Pelosi cares about our health.
Oh, jeez.
There you go.
She's still getting hammered, isn't she?
Yeah, she certainly
Dude,
is.
You're-
well, somebody was asking me about, like, you know, how do you, you know, I don't understand, Adam, how are you a company that, you know, promotes or wants to be inclusive, but then how do you do it without virtue signaling? I said it's really simple. You don't need to post and talk about all that shit all the time. It's your actions. It's what you do. It's the decisions that you make. The virtue signaling part is the part where it's like, look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. And for those people that I was talking in DMs, I said, you know, a lot of people just assume that we did nothing during this whole time, and that's bullshit. I said it's because we didn't post about it. We didn't take a screen capture of the checks that we wrote. We didn't talk about it on the podcast a bunch. We just did it. That's because of what we believe. I said it would have been virtue signaling had we did a post that said, look how much we donated to this cause. Look at what we did here. It's like that's how you're true to a cause like that is you take action and you do things about it, but you do it with knowing that you don't care if anybody sees.
What's the saying in marketing? You're better off donating $10,000 and spending $100,000 on marketing to tell people that you donate than to donate $110,000.
Right, right.
You're better off doing it that way. Dude, your shirt, your Def Leppard shirt is just so rad.
Bringing it back.
You know, that's the first... The first album I ever owned. So when I was, you know,
Hysteria.
Is that the one with Rocket?
Yes.
Yes. So
and
you know,
pour
when
some sugar on me oh, and dude. Photograph.
You know,
those drum solos, right?
Oh, dude, how did he do that?
With one arm.
One arm drummer.
Yeah, that guy is a champion.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Yeah, he pulled it off.
It's you know, when you're a kid and you hear one song that you like, so you're like, you know, what do you want for Christmas?
Yeah.
I want, you know, Def Leppard. And my uncle's like, really?
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, you know how to
pour some sugar on me, right?
Yeah. So, you know, there's music that you have that is like stuck to memories. So my dad died when I was 7. My mom remarried by the time I was 8. And my stepdad, you know, at that time, so this is, let's see here, 88. Right. So 88, 89, my stepdad came into my life. My mom, when she met him, he drove a T-top Camaro and he had permed blonde hair.
Oh,
and all I could
Dude,
picture
of course,
was
of course
him.
She married him. Yeah. That's like the coolest thing.
He just sat
done.
On the hood, just like, hey, babe.
And just...
here I go again
on my own. And blaring, like, pour some sugar on me in the car.
It would have been better if it was an IROC.
Like, I mean, getting older, right? I've lost so many memories of, like, before 10 years old. But, like, that's, like, just ingrained in my
Dude,
brain.
I
right?
had a cousin who, you know, he was like... His name is Frank. So he came down to visit my grandfather because my grandfather's he's ill right now, not doing so well. So family's been coming to visit or whatever. And I saw my cousin, you know, my cousin Frankie was there. And I haven't seen him in a long time. I knew him as a kid. So I was young, much younger than him. He's like, I want to say about 10 years older than me. So he was super cool, right? When I was a kid, when I was 12, he's like 22. He's like the coolest guy in the world. Oh, yeah. And he used to work with my dad as my dad's helper. When my dad would go, you know, do tile and marble and stuff like that. Maybe he's 8 years older than me. But anyway, he helped my dad. And he was like the coolest guy ever. Anyway, he drove an IROC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He had the Guido hair, you know, kind of the wavy, longer hair.
Yeah, yeah. Soul glow in it.
Bro, he had a mustache. He'd wear the beater.
Nothing but Bob Seger just blasting.
Bro, he'd wear the beater. Yeah. And you know what his license plate said on his IROC?
He had a custom license plate.
Mr. Italy. Mr. Italy. And I was like 12, 13.
And you were like, that is so cool.
Bro, he would tell me about
so cool.
He would tell, this is so inappropriate now that I realize.
I think of the Rocky right away when I think about that, right? When Eddie Murphy does the, or when he does, what is it, Delirious? Was it Delirious where he does the impression of the guys, the Italian guys walking?
They watch Rocky and they think they can beat everybody up. That was me. Yeah. But this is so inappropriate now thinking about it. But, you know, I'm 13, so I'm like a teenager, you know, whatever. And he's, I don't know how old he's, 17, 18 maybe. And he's telling me like about the girls he's hooking up with. And he's like, yeah, dude. And I'm like, man, you're so cool. He's like, dude, you drive a car like this, bro. He's like, just open the T-tops.
Just throws at you.
He's like, say, open the T-tops. They jump right in. I'm like, wow. Wow. Anyway, he's
it's
a
like
great
fish in a barrel.
Yeah, no, dude, such a douche. But he grew up and he, you know, he became an awesome. He's a father now and he's a great guy. But anyway, so I was hanging out with my grandfather this weekend because he's 89. He's, you know, he's lived a long life. 20 years ago, he had a little bit of prostate cancer, beat it, but it's back. And so everybody's, you know, we're all hanging out with him and stuff. And I had a conversation with my grandfather I've never really had where I had him kind of spell out kind of how he came to this country, what this all looked like. Because we're sitting down talking and my grandfather, he's on one hand, he's the most macho man you ever met in your life. And on the other hand, he's also very emotional. So he starts to get a little emotional and he's, you know, he's telling me how he wants me to say something when he passes away and this and that. And I'm like talking about his legacy. I'm saying, you know, look at around, because we're at his house and it's all his family there, right? And I'm like, look around. This is not even 1/10 of the legacy that you started in this country with your grandkids, their kids, and you have all these great grandkids, all the people that you brought from Italy, because he was the first one to come here, and people would come and stay with him. So him and my grandmother sat down, and you want to talk about putting things in perspective. They told me the story of kind of how they came over here. So when my dad, when my grandfather was, he married my grandmother in Sicily. These were very, very tough times over there, very poor. At 21, he left because he heard that there was opportunity in Venezuela. 21, he went to Venezuela for 3 years, didn't see his wife, didn't see anybody. My grandmother was pregnant. She had my uncle. She came to visit him, to see him in Venezuela on a boat. She lived on the boat for 2 weeks with a baby she was 20, didn't speak a lick of any other language but Italian, met my grandfather in Venezuela. Then they both went back to Italy. Then my grandfather came back to America for another couple years. My grandmother didn't see him, and she was pregnant with my mom. Has my mom comes back over on a ship, which also, by the way, broke down. So she lived on a ship for like a month with my mom, who was an infant, and her four-year-old little boy. Didn't know anything, didn't know anybody. Anyway, so this is all – they were telling me the story of how they all did this. I told my grandfather, I'm like, how did you end up buying – he's got a nice house, right, in San Jose. I'm like, how did you buy this house? He goes, well – when I came here, I found another Italian who worked at this factory. He gave me a job, saved my money. Then we rented an apartment. Then we rented a house. Then he got a job as a custodian at a school. So my grandfather did for most of his life. He worked in the school district as a custodian. But he would come home from work at 5 o'clock at night. Then he'd go and clean movie theaters until like 3 a.m. This is what he did for years.
Getting it done.
Saved his money. My grandmother didn't speak English, didn't even have a driver's license. So she started to make friends with people and started babysitting, saved their money, and they bought the house that they're in now. You know how much you know how much you paid for the house back then?
How much?
$24,000.
$24,000. How long ago was that?
This was made in 1950-something, late '50s. So he buys the house
in San Jose.
Now remember San Jose.
Which, by the way, there's not a. I don't think you can buy a house for under a million here.
You can't even buy a garage for that much.
Yeah, farms here for the most part.
It was farms. It was fields. You know, San Jose was a farm town essentially. So they buy the house, and my grandfather's like, at that time I was making $300 a month working two jobs, and I forgot what his mortgage was, but it was like most of his money. I'm like, how did you guys make it? He's like, you just save your money. You just work hard. And so I'm looking around at this legacy that he's, and I can't even believe that the guy at 20 something years old, two times went to a country, didn't speak the language, had no idea what he was doing. There's no internet.
Yeah.
There's no nothing.
Right.
And he's just figuring it out and busting his ass.
No apps to translate. Nothing.
Nothing. And so as I'm talking to him, I'm like, this just sounds crazy to me. You know, I tell him, I'm like, no, this sounds so crazy at that age. I said, weren't you afraid? He goes, no, I wasn't afraid. He goes, you remember at 10 years old, he goes, I used to get potatoes and I would leave and I'd go and I'd take the train to the other side of Sicily and I'd spend the night somewhere for two nights selling potatoes and then I'd bring the money back to my mom at 10 years old. So I'm like, yeah, of course, at the age of 20, you're
10
like-
10 years old?
Yeah, dude. You're like,
taking a train, spending the night.
You're like, I'm going to America, no problem. I heard that place is awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They don't make, it's just crazy. And it makes you realize what we're capable of and how, because every generation, I think, just gets whatever you want to call it, soft.
Oh, totally.
I guess in comparison, because I couldn't imagine doing that now, my age, you know, moving to a country, not knowing the language with internet and everything. It'd be kind of scary.
It's just crazy. Making it happen. Yeah. Crazy. That's a rare thing these days to see.
Oh, it's crazy. But, you know, he started this entire chapter of our family. And my grandfather, as a kid, I remember this. He was the most patriotic person. He would always say, God bless America. If the national anthem would come on, he would, again, he's macho but emotional. He'd cry, get pissed off that he'd cry because he didn't like to cry, but he'd get pissed off and talk about his greatest country in the world. Damn it. Son of a bitch. You know, pissed off because, you know. So it's
fighting that tear that's in the corner.
Yeah, dude. But anyway, so cool.
My grandpa was the same. Yeah. It's so mad.
It's so crazy to hear these stories and stuff, you know.
Forget how lucky we are.
No, it's good to hear them, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, oh, man, I got to go like break down some boxes in the garage. I'm tired. You know, some stupid shit like that. You know?
I've been on the computer all day. I'm tired.
I don't feel like working out. Yeah.
Hey, anyway. Justin, did you get your Speedos yet, dude?
I got my Speedos.
What? Hold on. What's going on here?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I had this idea. Well, I think Adam actually had this idea originally. But,
well, I ordered from them already.
Yeah.
So I never got a chance to wear. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'll tell you the story of the original Speedo, right? So. Remember when back when...
Did I win you guys over? Is that what's happening?
No.
Did you guys find the...
Maybe subconsciously, but no.
The value and the security of nice fitting underwear?
Yeah, not that. No, swim Speedo, right? Do you remember when Ben Greenfield and I were going back and forth talking shit about swimming?
About going to swim competition?
Yeah.
That was such a...
So I had this company, I forget the name of it. Justin probably knows because he just bought from him. Because I bought two Speedos with Ben Greenfield's face on them.
Yeah.
So and I
on his butt.
Yeah. So I've got those. Problem is they came in and they don't fit. Yeah. So they're too small. They're way too small. I can't put them on. And I'm like, the lengths that I went to like order, like I had to go get a good image. I had to like make sure
you had parts falling out.
Oh yeah. It wouldn't even. It doesn't even like go over my thighs. They're way too tight. You know. So unfortunately, the idea I had of putting them on and then calling them out and shit on social media.
Can Doug wear them?
Yeah, Doug could probably fit in him. You know, maybe I'll get him for Doug. Doug.
Great.
He already put him on.
But exactly what I want. Ben's face on my butt.
Yeah. So, you know, anyways, Justin, I guess he's working on something, and he was looking for speed. I was like, oh, I have the company for you.
So I have this silly idea for a commercial for Juve, like in mind, and we're gonna set it up for shooting and everything. I've been waiting for this to come in because I ordered it ahead of time, and it was like. It's basically like, you know, an American flag and all that. And it's like very, you know, very small, very tight, very like, I don't know, the like European cut, I guess.
Yeah, they run small, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Feels so
very
good.
Snug.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. And so
comfortable.
Courtney was like, well, you know, you can't just go do all this without giving me a preview, you know? And so I'm just like, oh, God, really? And so That turned into a whole night.
Whoa. It worked?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but like she's
been sitting on a gold mine this whole time.
She's like, wait. She's like, wait a minute. I don't want to like it. You know, she kept saying, I don't want to like it, but, you know, keep those on for a while. And I was like, this is awkward,
wow.
Dude.
Wow, it worked.
Go get your construction. Yeah. Hey, go fix the deck.
There must be something to that. Yeah.
Wait. Did you put on boots, too?
No. I'm not gonna admit all those things yet. Yeah.
Hey, dude, I'm telling you, once you discover the power of a good fitting, nice fitting pair of Speedos.
Apparently. I've noticed this is a trend because Courtney, too, and like we order stuff from Vuori all the time, and she's like, you know, what was your size again? I tell her size, she gets me a smaller size, like every time.
What?
Like, yeah, dude, like my shorts have been like a little more snug, but I mean, it's not terrible. It's like I used to wear them a little more loose, so I had room and everything for the boys, but you know, now
she's liking them short shorts.
She's getting me all saran wrapped.
She wants to see the cakes.
Yeah. Apparently.
See the little butt cheeks hanging out the bottom of them? That's a little too much, guy. Did you watch football this weekend?
I did.
Hey,
did the 49ers lose?
No, they won.
Yeah, they won?
They won, but lots of injuries.
Tons of injuries. That's what I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
So, really interesting. I can't remember how many ACLs have already been torn this season in 2 weeks.
Right.
So, it's obviously
it's like a plague going
a lot of speculation around the lack of training.
Yeah.
I mean, you got
why is there
it's
lack
obvious
of training?
To me. Yeah.
COVID, bro.
Wait, they're not allowed to train?
No. Oh. So leading up to this the season, so there was no preseason.
There's no preseason, which is huge.
Yeah, there's no preseason. There was a few weeks there where I'm sure nobody was training
that
at all.
That makes sense.
Right, and so it just shows you how important all that is, getting ready for the season, and then you have all these pro athletes that are going full speed ahead, and you've got guys tearing ACLs left and right now.
Mm. Yeah, it's all over the place. I was getting frustrated with that because it was all the key players too. It wasn't just like, you know, like one guy here or there. It was like all of our key players from quarterback to like a defensive end and everybody else. I'm like, no, they're going down like flies.
Mm. How was the ratings? You guys looking up the ratings?
I haven't. The last I saw, they were still really
good. I really don't even care about that. I just watch because I'm like, yeah, football's on.
Well, wasn't there a UFC fight too?
Yes. There was. That was an interesting fight.
I didn't get to see it.
I wanted to see
the Tyrone Woodley and what was the other guy's name? The one.
Is it Chad? Not Chad.
Connor or something. I can't.
just throws up.
Just Chad.
Just like,
know,
like random, a super random. White name. Super white name. Chad.
Is his name Chad Kyle?
Chad Kyle.
Colby. Oh, shit. That's about as white as it is.
Come on,
that's
dude.
That's racist, Justin. That's racist. Yeah,
hey. Colby Covington.
Yeah. Okay. I'm allowed to.
So So I didn't watch the fight, but I did see that afterwards.
Trump called.
Donald Trump gave him a phone call.
Oh, my God,
I did see
that.
That's because he's like super hardcore, like pro, right?
He's the MAGA guy. Yeah, yeah. He used to come in with like the red hat and everything a couple years, like when he first got elected.
Now, what I want to know, I'm not following closely, so somebody can like school me on this, and I'm sure they will. Tyrone Woodley, I know, was rocking the BLM stuff, and then of course this dude's got all the Trump shit. Now, was this here's what I'm curious about.
That sounds like smart.
Marketing. This is what I want to know. So somebody can school me on this. Were both these guys kind of like that before this match already happened, or did Dana orchestrate this whole because there's a bunch of shit going on right now?
To my
major, you know.
Now, to my understanding, Colby was like this before. I don't know about Tyrone, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about
But
him
I know
either.
Colby, if I'm not mistaken, he was like this before. So this was part of his deal or whatever.
It just seems too WWE kind of strategizing.
Right. Exactly. So that's what I'm curious. So somebody who's a bigger MMA fan than I am can school me on exactly like, you know, were both these guys kind of like that well before? And was the fight already kind of scheduled well before? Or did this all kind of happen in the last like 30, 60, 90 days?
Well, I mean, speaking of WWE, which when we were kids, it was WWF, they were brilliant at this.
Yeah, much better name.
They were, because when I was a kid, remember when I was a kid, they would do like the good guy was the dude with the American flag, and then they'd have some like Russian wrestler or like the Iron Sheik from the Middle East. They planned that really perfectly to have that kind of that, you know, that. What do they call it?
The heel? Yeah, they always have the guy that comes out that just loves to be hated. You know? And like, I don't know. They might have like unintentionally or intentionally orchestrated that together. I'm pretty sure that was planned.
Yeah. Dude, I set something up for my son to play his video games in the garage. So he's out of the house, yeah.
Like a TV or
No, just a table so he can be as loud as he fucking wants to be, but in the garage.
Oh, he gets loud or
he
what?
He gets so loud, dude, and that's not going to work, especially when we have a baby.
he yells at his friends.
He just gets excited and he has no governing of his volume. So we'll say keep it down and then you'll keep it down for 10 minutes, get excited, get real loud again and annoy the shit out of everybody.
Oh, really?
So I'm just like, yeah, so we
all the way from his bedroom even?
Yeah, dude, he's just it's loud.
Dude, that's it's that funny. Loud. That's,
yeah. Well, he's got a voice kind of like mine. You know, my voice travels. His does that a little bit too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We've actually had to address this a bit too because I've actually gone back to just allowing the console and not the iPads. And like, so they were playing a lot like on the iPads and it was just like, it's a completely different type of behavior once you pull them away from the iPad versus the console of like the TV, and like they can still interact with their friends like he's doing with the online stuff. But
what do you think that is? Why is that so different?
I don't know.
I think it's proximity, and then I don't know. It's like just they get like it, I don't know, man. They get so much more sucked into the iPad.
I think it's because it's like one thing after another thing after another thing when you're on YouTube or you're playing these other type of games. I don't know. They've hacked something.
I don't know, but I just know that I've noticed it.
Same.
And so like removing that and now making that the only option that they, you know, can work their way towards and earn has been way better for me to manage.
No, now it's cool because for me, it's like my son's in the garage. He can go play his games, be as loud as he wants, talk to his friends, and he kind of thinks it's cool, right? Because he's 15, so he's like,
he's got his own space. He has his own little bachelor pad. Yeah.
Well, we'll see how cool he thinks it is when it's cold and hot, you know, in there. But I mean, we need a long term solution because if we have a baby napping and stuff, he can't be on his games all loud and stuff. But in the garage, he's far away.
He's going to want to escape there anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not like a bad situation for him.
No.
That's like where we all started a band, and you know, like it all starts in the garage, man.
I know.
Hey, ever since that that Netflix show, The Social Dilemma, came out, I've gotten so. Have you guys got a lot of DMs about that yet?
I have.
Lots of people are like, "See you later." Like, you know, this is my last time.
Yeah.
Here.
It also appears to be useful for potential future legislation to regulate.
Oh, interesting.
Social media. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to look at the stuff and say, okay, are there any motives behind this? Maybe this is a way to gain support for some kind of federal oversight. Which,
well, it's interesting that they're so hard on these other companies. Meanwhile, they're taking some heat for their cuties film and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that, yeah. Anyway. Hey, how's you guys, did you guys test out that new sleep product?
Oh, amazing.
The Ned.
Yes.
Sleep amazing. Product.
Yes.
Dude, I mean, I didn't
hit that one out of the park.
I didn't do it by itself. I actually had it the other night. I had to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and which is early for me. I don't normally get up that early. And so the hardest part about getting up early for me is setting the night before up, right? Because I'm used to staying up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning most nights. So I knew that I needed to like go to bed, and it's if I go lay a bed at 9:30 when I don't go to bed, I'd be just staring at the wall. So yeah, no, I mean it was perfect timing because that was coming up where I had to do that. You handed me that sample that they just came out with, and boy, dude, I slept like a baby.
Yeah.
So explain to me. So this by the way,
now, I don't know if it out yet. Can we even talk too much about the because I know it's coming out.
I saw ads for it already. So
did you?
Well, fuck it. We're talking about it because we're already in. Because I'm actually curious. I wanted to ask you now that we've all tested it, we all like it and everything like that. So this is Ned's new product that's either out or coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed just for sleep. Now I've used the whole, you know, full spectrum to try and help me go to sleep, and it's done a pretty damn good job already. What made this so much better?
Oh, it is out. Beautiful. So you can go check. Okay, so here's what's great about it. So a couple different things. Hemp and marijuana, which is a kind of a sister plant, but in this case it's hemp because this is legal, contains
the fun sister.
Lots of compounds that have effects in the body. And they're called cannabinoids. CBD is one of the more popular cannabinoids. CBD can cause relaxation, anti-anxiety effects. It's anti-inflammatory. CBD works best when it's with other cannabinoids. This is why something that's like full spectrum hemp oil extract versus something that's just pure CBD, the full spectrum stuff is just going to be much more effective. But the other cannabinoids have some of their own kind of properties. One of them is called CBN. CBN is being studied right now for its sedative effects, for its sleep effects. So what they did with their sleep formula is it's full spectrum hemp oil, high in CBD, but also high in CBN. So they made a special emphasis to increase the CBN in there. And then they added things like passion flower and valerian and other herbs.
Chamomile too, right?
That help with sleep. So, and it's effective. It's very effective. I mean, you take it and about an hour, for me, it took about an hour to start to feel. And then you're like, wow, I need to go to bed.
Yeah. I took it after like, it was 2 or 3 days of, I think it was Friday night I took it and then woke up Saturday just like totally refreshed. The days previous to that, it was like a string of 3 days where I just had rough sleep. My mind was racing like each one of those nights. And I just was like, oh my God, I need to really focus on sleep and getting, you know. And so I tried it then and I was like, it was crazy like how I woke up like just had super deep sleep.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I'm not overdoing it with the chamomile, right? I mean, I did the chamomile tea. With it. I would say it. I figure that's so mild.
You have to do like a really strong extract. I mean, you have to go insane with it to overdo it.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, no. So would you drink tea with it?
Yeah. So I literally put the 5 droppers under, because you put the 5 droppers under your tongue. You're supposed to wait for like a minute or whatever.
Right.
And then I was, you know, brewing some tea, chamomile tea, and then had that. By the time I finished the tea, it was maybe 30 minutes later, I was already like,
phew. Yeah. So the interesting thing is I was talking to a cannabinoid scientist, and she said that using, you know, cannabinoids in this way on a regular basis, healthy. And I said, is this healthy for anybody? She said, pretty much, because we don't see a really strong, like what's called negative feedback loop, where your body starts to build a tolerance. She goes, that happens if you have like, if you smoke a joint or you have tons of THC, but like this, she goes, no, regular use, you get this nice anti-inflammatory response. You get the anxiolytic, which is like the relaxing effects. And CBN is, again, it's very interesting. It's got that sedative quality. So, and I tested it now 4 times. 3 times I took it and just went to bed, got good sleep. 2 times I took it and stayed up to see if I would feel sleepy. And I did. It takes about an hour.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know, get that kind of sleepy, drowsy feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Went to bed and felt amazing.
Amazing.
You know? Hey, I wanted to, you know how I told you guys one of my new favorite supersets for arms with the suspension trainer?
Yeah.
I've been doing it pretty regularly. What a great combination. I'm so angry with myself for not ever doing it more.
Really? What's the combo again? Remind me.
So it's the curls with the suspension trainer. So it's where you walk your feet underneath like you're going to do a body row, but you're doing curls and your elbows are in front of you. So it's almost like a
preacher curl.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that nice high angle.
Yeah, and then you get full extension and immediately switch to body weight skull crushers.
Oh, yeah.
And the pump is insane. It's one of the best supersets I've ever done. For my arm. If you have a suspension trainer, this rivals like barbell and dumbbell exercise.
That was a classic combination for Orange Theory. So their routines that they had in there. Yeah. Because obviously their class is based around suspension trainers and then the rower and the treadmill. I probably used it more there than I ever did because I think I loved it. Same thing. I did it and I was like, oh, wow, way better pump than I would have expected out of that.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
First question is from health coach Liz. What's the difference between strength training and hypertrophy training? Don't they both produce muscle mass?
They do both produce muscle mass. Resistance training done generally speaking. I know, it was weird.
Yeah.
Done generally speaking with reps anywhere between 1 to 30. They're all pretty much going to build muscle. But when you get down to the specifics, some rep ranges build more strength in the low rep range. Others might build more stamina and endurance, obviously the higher rep ranges. Now, if you do a short-term study and you try to compare rep ranges and you see, you know, which one builds the most muscle, and they've done studies like this, typically, they'll find that these kind of mid-range rep ranges build a little bit more muscle. This 8 to 12 rep range tends to do that. But here's the problem with that. The problem with that is if you stay in that rep range for too long, it actually stops working, and then you build more muscle by switching out of it. In fact, some of the greatest muscle gains I've ever seen in clients we're taking people that always trained in the 8 to 12 rep range and then just move them out of it. And then they see these huge, you know, gains. So I think it is important to understand the differences, but don't get caught up in them. Realize that all of them, if your goal is to build muscle and develop a balanced physique, then you should train in all of the rep ranges. The only people that should stick primarily in one, but even then I'll recommend that they move out every once in a while, are people who have to compete in that particular rep range. So if you're a power lifter, you're probably going to spend most of your time in the lower rep ranges, for example. If you're an athlete and you want to build strength endurance, you might spend more of your time in the, you know, higher rep ranges. But for the average person, you want to play with all of them.
Well, I think you should have clarified first that the rep ranges for each one of those, what represents them, right? So we're assuming that everybody knows that strength training is the, you know, 1 to 5 rep range or 1 to 6 rep range, and hypertrophy is somewhere between 8 to 12 rep range. So that's the difference between the two of them is the rep ranges that we're talking about. And technically rest periods and tempo like can be in there. Like, so there's a, I forget where I came across. Boy, what was today? I came across this like infographic that had like it was like a quadrant, and you had like your strength training up to your power, strength, hypertrophy, and then endurance, right? So, you know, and your power is like in the under two reps, so like the single rep, and it's fast 1-1-1 tempo. So you're just working on explosive training. That would be power, and then strength would technically be somewhere between the 2 and 6 rep range, and then your tempo is like a 1-2-1 type of tempo for that, and longer rest periods, and then you start going into the hypertrophy, which is, you know, 8 to 12 rep range, 90-second type of rest periods, tempo being more like a 2-2-2 type of tempo or a 4-2-2. And then you get into your endurance, which is like, you know, over 15 rep range and short to no rest periods. So that's really like, and again, those are, I mean, I think debating over all that, like which one builds more muscle, is pointless, because no matter which category you fall under, whether you're strength training, power training, endurance training, or hypertrophy training, the key is to move in and out. If your main goal is to build muscle, burn body fat, build a better physique all around, from performance to how it looks, everything, it's most advantageous for you to move through all of them and reap the benefits of all of them.
Now, in those studies that prove that, you know, that rep range was probably, you know, the best for building muscle, was that just mainly about like circumference and the size of muscle, or were they actually talking about like actually promoting more muscle fibers?
Both. Yeah, they're talking about, but again,
in a short window, you're talking about a 6 to 12 weeks.
I mean, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is all those rep ranges build muscle.
Yeah. And they all have different benefits.
And they're going to build a lot of muscle if it's new, if it's new for you. If you haven't trained, you know, if you look at all of our MAPS programs, and we target different avatars. So there's, you know, MAPS programs for more bodybuilder-oriented people, MAPS programs for people who like to do unconventional training, for people who like to train more athletically, and so on. We have all these different programs, but if you look at inside all of our programs, all of them take you through all the different rep ranges.
Yeah, because, no matter what your goal is.
No matter what, because there's value in all of it. One of the worst mistakes, one of the big mistakes anybody can make when with their long-term training strategy is to stick with the same kind of programming for too long. No matter how great your program, and programming refers to exercises, sets, reps, rest periods, essentially the structure and style of the workout. If you stay in a style for too long, it just stops working. Doesn't matter how great it worked for you to begin with. Everything works. Nothing works forever.
The body's always trying to get more efficient and better at whatever you're doing. And so that's just what happens.
Totally. I mean, the first MAPS program created was MAPS Anabolic. It's a very good general muscle builder, metabolism booster. It's great for strength. And it starts with the phase 1, which is low reps. And what's great about that, and one of the reasons why I put that phase first when I first wrote that, is that I knew a lot of people would get the program who rarely trained in that phase, that were used to training in 8 to 12 or 15 to 20 reps, because that's what people tend to do. So then they do the program, get in that first phase, and it would blow them away right out the gates, because it was a new stimulus. They never had trained consistently in that rep range. That's by far one of the biggest mistakes, long-term speaking, is sticking too long in one thing and getting caught up in this kind of stuff. This is where data and studies can lead people wrong, because the studies aren't wrong. Yes, 8 to 12 reps in these, you know, three-month studies show that you'll build a little bit more muscle size in 8 to 12. By the way, it's a little bit. It's not a huge difference, okay? It's not like double the muscle. It's a little bit of a difference. But they'll show that. So what happens is people see that. They're like, that's the one I'm going to train in. I'm never going to train in.
Never going to leave.
And you end up missing out on so much more muscle and strength because of that. It's a big problem.
Well, the truth is both of them build muscle mass, and both of them can also not build muscle mass.
Right.
Right? So if whatever one you've been doing for months and months and months, if you've been sticking to that consistently, just simply switching to the other one is going to build the most muscle. So just keep that in mind.
It's so funny too, because when I first started working out, and again, I trained my clients so much better than myself. I must have fallen for this at least three or four times, if not more, where I'd move into a new style of training and I'd get great gains right out the gates, right? So like 3-4 weeks, I'm like, oh my God, I'm building muscle. I'm getting stronger. This is the key. And then I would stick to it like hard-headedly until it was just obvious that it stopped working for me. And then I'd be like, I need to figure out what's going on. Then I'd read some article that says, oh, if you do 20 reps, it builds more muscle. And then I'd try 20 reps, and then, of course, it's going to work. And then I'd be like, oh, this is the key. You know, this is what I was missing. Mm-hmm. And I'd stick to that for way too long. It took me a long time to be like, wait, maybe it's changing. Maybe that's the key.
Yeah.
Maybe the key is to move in and out of these different ranges.
Next question is from Fat Husband.
I put this one in.
My doctor just recently put me on Xanax for anxiety issues. I feel this is just a Band-Aid. What are some better, more natural approaches to helping eliminate anxiety?
We just talked earlier about us trying out Ned's new product, right, for sleep. I would say that this is probably the number one use for that product. So when people, the Ned product in general, right, so the full spectrum hemp, when I get DMs from people that are using, like, this is how they're using it more than anything else.
Yeah, and that's where the research is pointing to, aside from the kind of just general anti-inflammatory effects, which inflammation systemically can definitely cause feelings of anxiety or even depression, connected it to both. But besides that, the studies show that that's one of the more useful pragmatic uses of CBD and the other cannabinoids. You know, it's funny. I had a client that I used to train a lot of doctors, and I remember I got in this great discussion with one of my doctor clients who was very open-minded, and we got in this big old debate about using medications to treat certain issues, and anxiety came up. And I said, I got in this bit, and I'm a fitness guy, right? I'm a health and fitness guy. So my standpoint was, it's a Band-Aid. You're not fixing the problem. A lot of people's anxiety comes from the fact that they have poor stress management, poor health, they're not exercising, not getting good sleep, they're not getting good sunlight. If you fix those things, oftentimes you see anxiety dramatically reduced, which is true, and I had experiences with clients. And the doctor that I was debating with said to me, they said, look, you're right. Oftentimes the root cause has to do with just generally improving your health. They said, but if you get stuck in a loop of anxiety, sometimes it's so bad that you can't even stop to look at the anxiety because you're just dealing with it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, and I love the way that they put it, they said sometimes, I've seen patients like this where I'll put them on Xanax, but then they'll also do other things to improve their health. And what the Xanax does is it allows them to step outside of that anxious cycle that feels so nasty long enough to address it with lifestyle changes and then slowly wean themselves off.
It's like an intervention.
Yes, and that made perfect sense from the doctor. Are there natural methods? Try CBD and the other cannabinoids in hemp. It's very, very effective in my experience. I'm not going to advise you to replace your Xanax. That is something for your doctor. That's not something I could recommend on this podcast. But also consider this, that a lot of anxiety or this general anxiety from people is due from issues with health. And I don't mean necessarily terrible health, like you have heart disease or diabetes, although those can contribute. I mean, your lifestyle maybe needs some tweaking. You may be doing too much. You may not be taking care of yourself enough. Your sleep might be off. You're not active, exercise.
You're not using a lot of your pent-up energy is one thing, one huge factor that I found. And as well, you're consuming a lot of news and things that are really alarming that are happening all over the world. And I just don't find that that helps at all. It just exaggerates the issue completely with the anxiety.
Yeah, the anxiety is obviously on the rise, right? Because people are not going out as much, not seeing each other as much. People aren't exercising as much. It's funny when they do studies on children, and they do these with both with ADD and anxiety and children with signs of depression. When they get them out and active and exercising, they see a phenomenal difference. Same thing with adults. I know for depression and anxiety, appropriate exercise and dietary interventions in some cases has been shown to be as effective as medication for treating kind of this moderate levels of anxiety and depression. And some scientists and doctors will even say that it's better for long term, because in the long term, as you continue to do these things, health continues to improve and things get, you know, better and better and better. And now here's the downfall of that, or I would say the challenge. It's a systemic long term and probably a harder to apply approach, because on the one hand you have a pill. On the other hand, you have, I got to change my lifestyle. Yeah. Like that's a difficult one. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, you know, you got to ask yourself that question, you know, is this something I want to do forever? Do I want to see if I can work with my doctor? You know, I've had clients who've done this where they talk with their doctor and say, okay, I'm going to start making these changes. And then can you put me on a protocol of slowly lowering my dose of Xanax and then weaning myself off to see if my lifestyle practices or changes are making an impact. And I've had quite a few clients find success that way. It's a long process though.
Yeah, and not like taking it all on at once. So like trying to really reverse like all these habits that you've established that might, you know, it might just take one thing at a time, like just getting out and for walks and being out in the sun and starting there and, you know, starting to build off of that. But like using, like you said, that as an intervention, I think that's a smart way to do it.
Next question is from Marissa Lane. How do we know if needing to change foot position for a squat, such as widening feet or slightly pointing toes outward, is due to limited mobility or if it's related to our individual hip anatomy?
I picked this question because
we covered this not too long ago.
Yeah, we did. And we got into I don't know if you guys got any blowback from that. I got blowback from that.
What, from trainers?
Yeah, of course. Right. There's always, you know, somebody who, we said something about, you know, that being an excuse that a lot of people make, right? That they don't have, you know, the right hips to do that. So they have to open their toes up. And I think I made a statement about that being an excuse more often than it's really what's going on. Right. And Kelly Starrett did a really good video. Like, I don't know, this is now probably a 2-3 week old conversation. And he made the case of if you could sit down in his chair and you could turn your feet straight forward, you should be able to squat with your feet straight forward. And then and I made a comment under there, and then I got a bunch of the other, you know, trainers, you know, getting after me back and forth. And Squat University just did another post on that, right? Talking about the anatomy, the hip anatomy on some people, and that some people will have to have their feet turned outward. I agree with that. I agree that we are all very, very unique, and I think that everybody's hips are totally different. But I don't think that we are that different that the majority need to turn their feet outward. That's what I don't think, and that's what I disagree with. I would make the case based off of my experience, okay? And I'm not this is not me, you know, qualifying you who does this, and I don't know who you are, and I haven't seen you, but in my experience, you know, at least 80% of the people that could not squat without their feet turning outward, it was a mobility issue first. And once we addressed the hip and ankle mobility, they could squat to depth with their toes straight. It was not their hips that was the limiting factor. Does that mean that everybody is that way? No, I'm sure there's all kinds of exceptions to the rule. I know better than that. But I do think that because that's become a popular thing to talk about, the hip anatomy and how everyone's so different, that it's justified many people squatting with their feet turned all the way out when they're not addressing mobility issues.
I think, yeah, I might agree with that. If we're talking about just like a base, like this is like my homeostasis in terms of like the most optimal way for me to stand when I'm squatting based off my anatomy and what that provides. But also, I shouldn't think that limited. I shouldn't think that that's the only position I'm ever going to squat. And to me, that's ridiculous. I would need to then work my way towards, you know, my toes pointing straight or out externally rotated. I'm always trying to make sure even my stance, if it's too wide, if it's too narrow, like I want to have the ability of being able to squat in all the different positions. And, you know, if I'm limited to that, to me, that a lot of that is a mobility issue. And that's something that I look to and point towards to try and address. So it's not that, you know, it might not be the stance I'm always in, but the capability to do it, I have, and I have acquired.
Yeah. Here's a test you could do. If you can lay on your back and put your butt up, like your feet up towards the wall, put yourself in a squat position with your feet flat up against the wall, turn your feet in, out. And if you can do it by laying on your back, then you could do it with the right strength and mobility. What's preventing you is lack of mobility. It reminds me of when I went to go see Dr. Brink, and he put me in this 90-90 position, right, where my front leg is in front of me bent at 90 degrees and my back leg is bent at 90 degrees but going behind me. And he said, for the back leg, he goes, do you think that you could bring your foot up towards your ear, the back leg? And I was like, no way. There's no way that could happen. And he goes, well, you actually have the range of motion. He grabs my foot and he lifts it and brings it up. Now, I had no strength or control over it. It felt like he grabbed someone else's leg. It felt very strange. But he was proving that that my hips could do that. I just didn't have the strength or control over it.
Right.
And that's essentially what it is. If it's your anatomy, it's not because you're tight or weak. It's because there's a bone that's in the way. Literally, you can't do it because the bone locks.
Right.
And it's in the way, and you'll know it. You'll try to get in the position, and instead of it hurting or feeling tight, it literally feels like, it's like I'm trying to bend your elbow backwards. It ain't going because there's a bone locked into position. So if you can lay on your back, bring your knees up with your feet flat up against the floor like you're doing a squat, turn your legs in and out, like there's your range of motion. You might not own that range of motion. You might not have the mobility to do that range of motion, but it exists. So then your job is to work on mobility, work on strength, work on your ability to move in that range of motion and own it. The more you own different ranges of motion, the better your workouts, the better the potential for building muscle and strength, and the lower the risk of injury. It's just a fact.
The more stability and security you just provided.
It's just a total fact. So look, if you want to work on your mobility and practice, here's something you could do. You can go to primeprowebinar.com. It's a free webinar. Adam actually takes you through mobility movements. Here's the challenge. Follow the class. It's free. Do what Adam tells you to do in the webinar, and then go squat and see if you feel any difference. If you feel zero difference, maybe it's an issue with your hip, with your joints. If you feel a difference, probably a mobility issue.
And just because you can't squat down in the 90 degrees doesn't mean that it's the hips that are causing that. That's just it. So, I mean, the trainer that was arguing with me, I clicked on his page, of course, and, you know, he's squatting with his feet externally rotated. So, of course, that's why it offended him. He's a trainer and he's squatting this way and he has squat shoes on. For me, it's like very obvious that the limiting factor here is ankle mobility. Right. I mean, you've got a heel rise and you're opening your feet up, which allows more knee travel. It's easier for your knees to travel further with the feet externally rotated. So it's a very obvious, this is not a hip thing going on here. This is like if you were to address your ankle mobility. And here's the thing, by the way, I come from a place of being the person that didn't have that. It was fucked up, you know? So I get it. I know what it's like to not want to admit that, oh, I can't do that. You know, I can only go down to 90 because my hips, like, because I didn't have the hip mobility and the ankle mobility to do it either. It just took a lot of work. So my thing is, and it's not saying, it's also not criticizing those that are right now, that's the only way they can get squat to depth. So I would take a client, and if that's the only way they could squat to depth is the squat shoes and then the external rotation, that's probably how I would squat while I'm also addressing mobility issues in their hip and their ankle at the same time. So it's okay that you use tools like this as long as you don't just accept that, oh, I probably have these hips that are shaped this way. No, there's not that many people that have hips that don't allow you to go down with toes straight. To Justin's point, we should be challenging that. We should be able to squat with our feet 6 inches apart from each other, then super wide. Like most people's hips will allow them, with their toes pointing straight, allow them to do that if you work on the mobility and the strength and the control in those ranges of motion. It's just that we've neglected it for so long that it feels like most of us can't do that, and that's not the reality.
No, and it's funny, a trainer said that. I think the last lesson you learn in fitness, if you do it long enough, is you learn to check your ego and be okay with the fact that you suck at certain things. And maybe the reason why you suck at certain things is because you didn't place a lot of time on them. I know it feels like tough. Like if someone says to me, like, why didn't you, you know, you're not good at this exercise. Part of me wants to be like, well, that's not my fault, you know. But, you know, after a while you start to say, well, yeah, it's because I'm not focusing on that. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But these, what we're talking about, what we're saying is true, generally true. There are exceptions to the rule, but the vast majority of people who have to squat that way, it's not because your joints are built that way. It's because you just don't have the mobility. But this is good news because you can improve it. It's great news. You can address
it. Next question is from Ann Helfy. Do you have any tips on how to balance hormones as a female when training load is near athlete levels?
You know, somewhere along the lines of fitness, we started to equate high performance athletics or high performance
athletes
as health.
The standard,
as health.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally just
not. It's not what you're looking
at. It's
extreme.
It's because that's what the marketers use.
Yes.
I mean, all your big, you know, brand.
Nikes and everybody else. It's your big fitness company.
Yeah, exactly. All these big brands, they use athletes to market health and fitness, but the reality is they're not the greatest example. No, and by the way, same thing goes for the competitors on magazines. You know, the people that we choose to represent health and fitness are not the best examples of health and fitness.
No, not even close. And studies are quite clear on this. There's this this kind of bell-looking curve when it comes to exercise where a little bit does you some benefit, then you do more and you get way more benefit, then you do more and you get a little bit more benefit, then you do more and now I'm starting to get negative effects in terms of longevity and health. And then the more I apply, the less benefit I get in terms of health and longevity. Now, my performance may increase beyond that, but in terms of longevity and overall health, I'm going to start to decline. This is the case with high-performance athletes. If you are a high-performing athlete, if you compete in distance running or powerlifting or bodybuilding or gymnastics or football or jiu-jitsu and you do it this is your priority and you push yourself to very, very athletic levels, you are sacrificing health and longevity. You're sacrificing the health of your joints in some of these cases. You're sacrificing your hormone health in some of these cases. Definitely true for women. It is very common for female athletes to lose their period to have an irregular period and to have imbalances between the progesterone and estrogen. And it's because you're training at a very, very high level. So, you know, here's the problem and the challenge. If you want to balance your hormones and you're training at athlete levels, the first thing you need to do is reduce your training volume.
Yeah. You got to compromise.
You're going to have to reduce some of your performance for longevity and health. And this is when just being honest with yourself, because there's nothing wrong with either one, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be at that super high level of athlete, understand it comes with its own consequences and side effects.
Yeah, this was always a conundrum working with athletes. Is always like, how can I find the best recovery? Can we do this HRV thing? Can I get in a cryo chamber? Like, you know, like all these like aggressive ways to intervene, you know, the recovery and to speed up that process to get them right back on the field and going like balls to the wall, you know, out there. And it's like it. At the end of the day, like this is the decision that you have. You want to be the best at this particular motivation. Like this goal of mine is to be the best athlete I possibly can. And so I'm going to go all in. I'm going to use this intensity while I have it, but this isn't a long-term approach that is sustainable.
Well, this is also where there's a misunderstanding for the average weekend warrior that wants to train like an athlete too. There's this misunderstanding of how athletes truly train. A professional athlete, or at least a professional athlete that has a good coach and a good trainer, is training their athletes to peak. They're not just training like a superstar year round, week in, week out. Like so that you need
it's a total balancing game.
It is, yeah. and a good coach is watching things like hormones, right? Hormones and stress and recovery, and they're not taking their athlete client to their limits. until it's time, until I know it's almost game time. It's we're getting ready for season. We're going to prep the body, prep the body, prep the body, prep the body. Okay, we're getting closer. We're going to start ramping up. And then it's almost time for game time, right? Or season, whatever. And I want you at the max, but then I'm going to, and then season's there. Now I'm going to pull back on your training volume because now you have to perform on game day. And so there's a real fine dance of training like a real true athlete. But unfortunately, because of marketing, you know, you see like these cool athletes doing stuff on Instagram, or you have Nike promoting like shit, and you see stuff and you're like, oh yeah, identify as an athlete.
Motivational.
Yeah. And so you train, you as a weekend warrior, an average person, you want to train like this athlete. But the reality is we're only seeing a sliver of what goes into really training a high performance athlete. So much of that is recovery and taking care of the body and leading up to this high performance.
The best strength conditioning coaches out there are way more concerned with longevity and being able to keep their athletes healthy and injury free. And those coaches, you know, like a Mike Boyle or somebody out there that are world renowned for keeping, you know, professional athletes, the entire team, the whole season, like they're still able to play. That's a huge thing. Look at the Niners. We're talking about this in the beginning of the episode. Like, what good does that do getting out on the field in one of the first games of the season? You get injured. Like, right. That's the end right there.
Yeah, the best trainers at that level are the ones that are the best at managing injury prevention and recovery. They're not the best ones at pushing people to the extremes.
That's the easy way to go. Yeah. Like, just focus on, pushing.
Yeah, and you know, women are especially sensitive to this. Their bodies are especially sensitive to pushing super, super hard all the time and getting really, really lean. Like, women with six-pack abs, like, if you have visible six-pack abs, you're pretty close to being too lean for optimal health, if not already being too lean for optimal. Now, men can do this because we tend to hold less body fat anyway. So it's, you know, if you're following like these, you know, people on Instagram and social media and you're like, wow, I want to look like that, there's a trade-off. There's always going to be a trade-off. And pushing to that level, your trade-off is your general health, which means your hormones are going to be, this happens to men too, by the way. Men who push really, really hard, you start to see testosterone levels start to drop and you start to see oxidative damage start to increase. And it's, you know, it never really works out well. If you're trying to have both, you got to pick one or the other and then manage the other one as best you can. But you can't have both. You can't be this extreme, crazy, you know, top level athlete training at those levels and also have like amazing balance in your health. In fact, the very nature of your training is imbalanced. There's nothing balanced about training.
Right. And be careful of like saying things like, oh, but I feel so good after I train like this, because that's the argument I think someone's making right now listening to you talk about. It's like, oh, but when I train this way, I feel so good afterwards. And that's what, you know, we haven't talked about cortisol junkies in a long time. And this is common. You get someone who trains that way and they get this huge adrenaline rush afterwards and it feels amazing. You feel amazing and accomplished afterwards because your body's getting flooded with all that cortisol.
Well, you can fall in love with feelings, right? And so there's a very different feeling from feeling balanced in your body where you have good health, general health, good strength, relatively lean body fat percentage, a healthy body fat percentage, decent mobility, good sleep. That feels a particular way. Then there's the feeling of high performance. And I understand why someone would fall in love with that. I've been at that level. I know what that feels like. It does feel awesome. I feel like I'm strong as hell. I feel, you know, like I have lots of like hyper energy. I could tackle the world. It's a different feeling. Both of them feel different. Both of them feel good. You can fall in love with one and think, oh, this is what healthy feels like. Maybe not. In fact, oftentimes the feelings we fall in love with are the ones that aren't healthy. This is, by the way, one of the reasons why certain exercises get a bad rap. You know, like squats and deadlifts. Oh, you know, squatting and deadlift, isn't that how people blow out their discs? Well, when you're talking about, you know, extreme athletes
you're
squatting,
really getting after it.
Yeah, 700 pounds or 800 pounds or people, you know, strength athletes who are pushing themselves to insane extreme levels that you never would. Yes, now you're talking about higher rates of injury and stuff like that. But for the average person, those exercises are not just safe, they reduce your risk of injury. So it is a bit of a balancing act, but I've trained many a female athlete with this problem. And it was a conversation where I sat down with them and said, what do you want more? Do you like being 12% body fat more and being at high performance? or do you want to balance out your hormones, regain your fertility and your libido? Which one do you want more? Because we can't do both. And then once they decide, okay, I want to do the hormone thing, literally scale the workouts back, scale everything down. In essence, reduce their performance. In essence, reduce that extreme level of performance that they had, but then they get the hormones back, the fertility back, and all that kind of stuff. Look, Mind Pump is recorded on video as well as audio, so you can come watch us on YouTube if you want. Mind Pump Podcast. You can also find all of us on Instagram, including Doug. You can find Doug at Mind Pump Doug. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. Me at Mind Pump Sal, and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.